Scripture reading this evening comes to us from the book of the Psalms. We're going to read together Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Inspired inscription reads of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Beginning then at verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Psalm 34. Our focus this evening is primarily on the first three verses, and I would like to read them once more. David begins his testimony with these words, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So far, may the Lord continue to add his blessing, that our hearts may be open to receiving the very proclamation of the word that will be set before us. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we face the tests and trials of life, many yet unbeknownst to us, as we seek to live the lives that God has given us, as we deal with the circumstances in these so-called COVID days, it becomes easy for us to become sidetracked in our blessed calling to declare the praises of God. He who made us and he who redeems his covenant people in Jesus Christ. Always we need to be encouraged to go back to the first principles to go back to that which we were originally created for. Our text this evening is one of the great invitations in the Psalms to praise God. It's an invitation to all people to join together in praise. It is a call to proper boasting, because the only proper object in our boasting is God Himself. As we heard Psalm 34 speak, we receive the encouragement to find our comfort and joy in trusting God, in trusting both His person and His purpose. Psalm 34 then beckons, invites, calls, arouses us to bless the Lord personally, individually, to do so continually, and to do so corporately, that is, as the body of Christ, congregationally. It's a great privilege and a tremendous responsibility to serve God. To serve God in our daily walk and in our walk, and also to be given the opportunity to do that together as the body of Christ. How rich we are to be able to gather. We're not just sitting by ourselves at home. No, we're together as a body of believers. When we think of our place in this world, we who are but the puny creatures of the dust, what a marvel to be called by the Almighty God, He who is mighty over all, called to lift up our praise to Him. And what a wonder it is to enjoy the bond of the covenant and covenant friendship, to live in the amazement of His amazing grace, and to do that together. God be praised. He is the great I am who I am. He has revealed Himself as the triune God, the everlasting God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the incomprehensible God in that He is beyond our ability to comprehend the fullness of His glory. He who is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, the God who changes not. A finite creature such as we are can never fully understand that which is infinite. Our knowledge is far from complete. It's restricted by our fallen humanity. We do not know God's qualities completely or exhaustively. There is and always will be an element of mystery regarding the triune God. But God has given us two books in which He helps us answer our calling. The creation is set before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as but so many characters, leading us to clearly see the invisible things of even His everlasting power and divinity. When we behold the handiwork, the intricacies, the wise design, hearts need to be lifted in the declaration, "How great Thou art." And then we are given this beautiful second book, the Bible, where God makes Himself more clearly and fully known to us in His holy and divine word. That is to say, as far as necessary for us to know in this life, to His glory and for our salvation. And now this evening from the Bible, we have been permitted to enter David's world and to listen for a moment to his Holy Spirit-inspired speech. David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Personally, he takes up the great passion and mission to give constant praise. Personally, he gives his testimony of praise and calls us to a life focused on the mercies of God, the God who is near to those who who may have a broken heart, and the God who is near to save such as have a contrite spirit. As we look at Psalm 34, as you heard the reading, we quickly notice that David's testimony is not given when life is smooth sailing, but rather he declares his praise in the context of trouble and adversity. At the time of the writing of Psalm 34, David was being hunted for his life. There was one troubling trial after another. The posse seeking his death was seemingly always only one step behind him. He had no place to call home. This was a time in his life when he was always on the run. The wilderness was no sanctuary to him, nor was the enemy a territory, a haven of rest. Now, in light of all of this, one might think, how could David cry out, "Bless the Lord"? Perhaps we would better understand if David would cry out, "Where are you now, Lord, when I need you? Why are you letting this happen to my life?" Saul on the one hand, the king of Gath on the other, attacked as it were from two sides. Now, David did have times where, when we think of Psalm 13, where he begins with four penetrating questions of, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will I be on my own? Where are you, Lord?" He had those times, but in this occasion, in the occasion of Psalm 34, David cries out, "Bless the Lord." And we need to ponder that. I don't know the story of your life, nor do you know the story of mine. But how is it that you approach your comings and goings from day to day, week to week, answering your particular callings of life with this before you: "Bless the Lord"? How do we understand our calling while at the same time recognizing evil both in the world around us and even in our own lives? None of us will be exempt from troubles. Life is sometimes a series of troubles. Some of those troubles are of our own making. Troubles encountered in the troubles of others are those who trouble us. This life is often a veil of tears. And not until we get to that banqueting table will those tears be completely wiped away. Difficulties, dangers, dilemmas, raising children, living within the context of a society that does no longer know God, all of that requires from us a godly response. And in responding, we need to remember that God is all good, all powerful, all knowing. He hates evil, will ultimately judge evildoers, and remove evil and suffering after accomplishing a greater eternal good. Many of you are familiar with Joni Erickson Tada, who has lived for many, many years now as a quadriplegic. She wrote, "God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves." And her life, in spite of her difficulties, has touched many people for good. And she has learned to raise the chorus, "Bless the Lord." There's a trap that some Christians fall into. The trap is this: that faith will spare us from life's troubles and trials. There are those who truly are suffering and wonder why, because they believe they have done what was right, including faithful service in the church, tithing, devotions, and so forth. And their suffering has put them in a daze of bewilderment. Well, they've fallen into the trap where the Lord God and the faith that he's given us serves as an insurance policy in which we pay our premiums to protect us from harm. But that's a mistake to fall into that trap. God in his goodness and grace ought never to be to us an insurance policy. No, we have a noble calling in the circumstances of life and the choices that we're to make to glorify and magnify God, to affirm his greatness, attempting to do justice to his infinite majesty and power and wisdom and love, even though surely we will fall short. To glorify and magnify God is not to make more of him than he is. That's impossible. But the call to answer the conviction of praise to God is always before us. And we must not then simply believe in God, but believe what is true about God. When we see God as he is, we will see ourselves as we are, leaving him in his rightful place and we in our rightful place. We must not lose sight of the fact that through the redemptive suffering of Christ, in which our Savior Redeemer took the problem of evil and sin upon himself, triumphed over evil and death. And we need to live in this confidence that on the great day of days, soon coming, death will be swallowed up forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from the faces of his people. And David is living out of this experience. And out of his experience, he wants to bring some benefit to us. At verse 11, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." He can see the bigger picture. Experientially, he knows God as his refuge and strength. Psalm 34 is a wonderful song of salvation, and it's a song that David is singing from his heart. The Lord hears the cry of the righteous. He delivers them from their troubles. So confident is David of the fulfillment of the Lord's promise that David carries on in the midst of his troubles as if he has already experienced the fullness of salvation. The difficulties we experience in life do not change the truth of God's saving love in Christ Jesus. Unto those who in and by grace believe in true faith. And thus rests our call to bless, to exalt our God. It's a personal calling each one of us has received. The great God, who is beyond what we might think or even imagine, is the same God who delivers us from the consequences of our sins, delivers us from our fears. And congregation, you and I together, we need to be encouraged over and again to trust him, to believe his promises, to believe in faith that the outcome of our lives is sure with our Heavenly Father. That calls for a life of consistency. By nature, we're sort of an up and down people. David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." The praise and thanksgiving that we are to offer to the Lord is not to be stop and go a little bit and then just stop. No, it's to be that constant forward motion. Our reflections guided by Scripture, our meditation before Jehovah God must be regular, constant, not simply reserved for Sunday worship. And like David, our praise must be from the heart. And not a day ought to slip by where we fail to to acknowledge with thanksgiving the great glory of God, the great wonder of His wonder-working love in Jesus Christ. God has given us His Word. We have our Bibles, and each page will direct us one way or another to His praise. God has ordained our times. God has a plan for each one of us, young and old alike. What valleys we must experience in life are unknown to us, but they are already known to God. To be paralyzed by despair helps no one. And so again, believe the promises of God's Word. When He promises to be faithful to complete the good work that He has begun. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ when He says, I am with you always. Believe the very word of God as we heard it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. Verse 15, verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Our life's experiences should not hold us hostage, drawing us away from God's praise and His promise. Rather, the experiences of life must always be considered in the context of our place and relationship to our Creator and our Maker. And when we do that, when we learn to see our experiences, what we have before us in life, in the context of who God is, and where He's leading us, that will bring stability to our lives. Our Heavenly Father has given us His covenants. He has given us His only begotten Son. And in the immensity of His love, He has ordained that those whom He has called will persevere. Now, David does not only express his determination to give praise for the goodness of the Lord, for the deliverance from all his fears, for the rescue that he has experienced, but he says, come on now, come with me. He invites others to join him in giving praise, and thus our praise is not only personally, but to be given collectively, corporately, congregationally. Let us exalt God's name together. Together we may and we must express our testimony to the Lord. Together it is our blessing to lift our hearts and our voices in praise, to do so with a sense of purpose, zeal, and enthusiasm. In a certain sense, we've experienced some loss in these last months with restrictions around us. I'm very pleased that you as a congregation are able to assemble on a whole, as a whole. The congregation where I'm a member, it's like we've become three congregations. And one third and one third and one third meets, and the other two thirds we don't see. And there is a loss, and the church is suffering. Some churches, for whatever reason, have not yet even opened their doors. It is a great blessing to see you here tonight. It was a great blessing to see you this morning together as one. Don't take that blessing for granted. Press on in the calling, in the declaration that declares, God be praised. He is great and greatly to be praised. Our society, we'll talk about religion as being something to be kept private. Keep your beliefs to yourself. Don't bother others with what is near and dear to your heart. But that is utterly false. Utterly false. The highlight of the week is coming together as God's people, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, blending our voices with united hearts, focusing our minds on the beauty of our beautiful Savior, He who is busy preparing that banqueting table for us, thinking of the majesty of our Heavenly Father, pondering the power of the Holy Spirit. And together then we join in heart and mind to tell the Lord of our thankfulness, our gratitude. Gratitude towards God makes even a very temporal blessing, an hour of worship, a taste of heaven itself. Here we are together with all our warts and idiosyncrasies, our foibles, our shortcomings, our faults, and we join together. It's a beautiful picture for me to stand before you, to see the congregation, young and old alike, fellow struggling pilgrims coming together as one, gratefully singing of God's power and love. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To confess that God is our shield. He is our defender. The Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor, girded with praise. David cries out to the entire covenant community, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." I'd like to ask the children for a moment, when you hold a magnifying glass in your hands and you place the magnifying glass to focus on a particular object, what happens? Well, you say, of course, whatever is on the other side of the magnifying glass is enlarged. Now, we must not think that when David calls us to magnify the Lord, that we're attempting to enlarge, to make God look bigger. As we said earlier this evening, to glorify and magnify God is not to make more of Him than He is. That's impossible. But it is our praise that must be magnified. And this is to be our goal, to praise more, not less. When we get entangled in the troubles of life, the sins that entangle, that hold us in the miry clay, as it were, we can lose sight of our first purpose. The praise we offer to the Lord is highlighted in the humble hearing and the receiving of God's word. David speaks of the radiance, and we should understand the shining radiancy in the light of our joy in Christ. David talks about the gladness of the humble in contrast to the proud. The proud are not interested in blessing the Lord. They have no need of the Lord. The proud think that singing God's praise is a bit outdated. It's a bit too much for them. The proud believe that they can live apart from God. Perhaps their continual chorus is, "Well, I'm just going to do it my way." Those who have been humbled by the grace of God truly are learning what it is to become radiant. The humble know they have been lifted up. The humble know that grace is not their deserving. Perhaps you've attended a wedding this past summer, past fall. Recall a wedding that you have attended. When young couples are married in the Lord, they're dressed in their finery, and they look radiant. They're beaming. Their hearts are bursting. Well, we are as congregation, the bride of Christ, and that bride is to give expression to the radiance of Christ. And our hearts are to be beaming and bursting for what the Lord for who the Lord is and what he has done. We think here of the task given to parents to encourage their children in the expression of joy. So-called modern child psychologists often tell us that the sure way of making a child happy is to build up their self-esteem. But that's not the message of the scripture. If we want to teach our young people to live confidently in a very shaky world, they must come to know personally that real joy, that real strength, that real confidence that can only be found in Jesus Christ. The gospel speaks to us in terms of submitting ourselves to Christ. And so instead of focusing on self-esteem, we need to focus over and again on Christ's esteem. Those who have a burden for the souls of children must rally around the rugged cross and point children in the direction of the Savior who bled and died. Bled and died on account of the sins of all those who have come to repentance and faith. And the greatest blessing that parents can give their children entrusted to their care is training these little ones in the fear and the love of the Lord. To remember that in the work of Christian education, beginning at home, that work is undergirded with a message that declares, "Bless the Lord, bless the Lord." And it's a message that we want others to experience and embrace. There's room in the sanctuary here for others. Calling and inviting others to God's praise. To have others share in the joy of the Lord. The purpose of mission is to add to the worshiping community. To pray the Lord's blessings to rest upon the efforts of the bride of Christ to reach others. The bride of Christ desires for thronging worshipers. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name I will confess. Come, praise him, ye that fear the Lord, ye children of his grace. With reverence, sound his glories forth. Bow before his face. Amen.